When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Or have you, I think it's a TikTok. Have you seen where I just laying in bed, watched it this morning and just laughed for so long to myself, but it's like an Australian radio show or something or a podcast. And a guy calls in, he's like, have you ever thought about how if you're with one of your friends, let's say we're all hanging out at a pool and Sean's like, guys, I peed in the pool. He'd be like, oh, that's gross, man. Like, get out of the pool next time. But if Sean got out of the pool, took his pants down and pissed into the pool, we would never talk to Sean again. but it's the exact same thing.
That's so funny.
It's not not the exact same thing. You kind of making a big show of it.
Yeah. The presentation. But
even if
is
you didn't make a big
different.
Show, if you just looked over and Sean was just peeing in the pool from the side,
he's like, a little privacy, please.
You'd be like, get in the pool, man. Jeez.
Out of paper, out of stock. There's friendly faces around the block. Break loose from the chains that are causing you pain. Call Michael and Stanley, Jim Dwight Creed. Call Andy and Kelly for your business paper needs. Or Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people.
Hello and welcome to the Michael Scott Podcast Company, a show for fans of The Office by fans of The Office. I'm your host and special projects manager, Sean Roney.
And I'm Edwin James, founder of Diversity Tomorrow, because today is almost over.
And with us as always, our producer in the warehouse, Mr. Alex Ward.
I wish my gym didn't allow full nudity in the locker room. Okay, some of these old guys walking around naked feels almost passive aggressive. But I deal with it. Because it's policy. Mm-hmm. See what I mean?
Nope.
Nudity makes me uncomfortable.
Okay.
Every week we get together and talk about our favorite show, NBC's The Office. This week is a mailbag episode. We've got lots of voicemails, some feedback on our cringe moments draft episode from last week. And of course, if we have time at the end, we should have some tapas Swiss Miss from Edwin over there in Zurich. Mm-hmm. But before we get started, Alex, any housekeeping to start us off with?
Just our every episode shout out for our Patreon community, the Scott's Tots. Join us, $5 a month, patreon.com/Michael Scott. Get our monthly mailbag exclusive episodes. Get ad free our whole podcast feed without any of those bothersome ads. Although we are fantastic at reading ads, so if you like ads, you know, you can still listen to our regular feed. Mm. We got bonus. We got Ted Lasso series on there. We got some unreleased episodes. We got a couple draft episodes on there. All sorts of good stuff. So get in there because it's heating up. We got a lot of folks. Gift. You know what? Holiday's coming up. Go ahead and gift a top membership to your loved one or to your friend.
Just that's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is a great idea. Well, yes, thank you, Alex. Check us out on Patreon if you need more Michael Scott Podcast Company content. But let's get
into... We have some voicemails today saying that we need more, guys.
It's so there. It's there for
it's
the
there.
Taking.
It's all there. Mm-hmm.
Call them in, guys. Call them in.
Okay.
Phones are lighting up.
Let's get into it, guys. I think we were going to start with some feedback from last week's episode. Okay, great. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Before we get into the voicemails this week, we are going to listen to a voicemail about our cringe draft, and then we have a bunch of different responses. A lot of people wrote in about cringe stuff we missed, so we'll kick it off here with the voicemail from Karen in Ohio.
What up, Cynthia? This is Karen. I'm from Dayton, Ohio. I'm one of your tops.
Yeah.
And really heck appreciate the show and everything you guys do. Love listening to it. Love hearing about Edwin's adventures now with the top of the list and all of those things. So thanks for everything you do. I just got done listening to the cringe draft episode. I just had to bring up, like, literally the one that would be first on my draft list, and it wasn't even mentioned, would be, I just have four words for you. Slum, Dunder, Myth, Flanair. Like, Slum, Dunder, Myth, Flanair is to me so cringy. You know, not the least of which is just letting the one branch know that they're going to totally be closed down. But especially the part where they start talking about, like, Robert Mifflin, how he had a great life, but he suffered from depression. For $250, how did he kill himself? Like, it just makes me so uncomfortable, but in such a great way. I just love that part. So anyway, just wanted to shout out my personal cringe draft moment. Again, thanks you guys for all you do, and stay safe.
Thank you, Karen.
Yeah,
that is a good one. I didn't
very
think
good
about
moment.
Yeah, I agree, and I didn't think about it, but yeah, kicking off the voicemail episode in style. That was when you think about that moment, I think it gets overshadowed a little bit by the volleyball game, maybe, and everything else that happens in that episode. But it's easily one of the most cringy sequences on The Office.
It really is.
Most definitely. And, you know, when we talk about it's come up so many times. I know, like Steve Carell said before, like, oh, The Office couldn't exist today because, you know, it's too offensive and all these things. Like, I think the suicide jokes in particular would have gotten, post 13 Reasons Why, like, now there's usually trigger warnings at the beginning of things that even discuss suicide. I think that's definitely a tasteless joke to make at a company picnic with children present. Yeah.
I feel like if that joke was there, the network, they'd have to put a suicide prevention message at the end, and I feel like the writers would never write it because they're like, we can't end an Office
that's
episode
not...
with that. You just can't.
Yeah.
It's not how it works. Anyway, we had a bunch of people write in with some missed, so I'm going to go
cool.
through some other missed cringe moments here. And by the way,
thank you, Karen.
By the way, you notice Karen started out her voicemail, "What up, Cynthia?" Like, everyone does that now. I love it, but the way we look at our voicemails and how we categorize them on our run sheet when we put it together is like, I look for the hello and like their first name in the little Google preview of the message.
Yeah.
So it's like, I can't do that anymore because all of our voicemails just say Cynthia.
Yeah.
Anyway, I keep doing it though. It's funny.
Do not stop.
All right, next cringe moment. This is from CJ, who emailed in. Also sent a picture of their Halloween costume along with this, which you should check out, Sean, because
yeah.
I have not seen Over the Garden Wall, but you have. And they went as Greg and Wirt.
Amazing.
From Over the Garden Wall, which I haven't
love
seen,
that.
But
I will
give me a review of
that.
They said a moment that's certainly in my top three, maybe your top five and my top three, so suck it, is Aaron and Michael on Secretary's Day, where she gets overwhelmed and hides in her hair room.
Oh, sure.
We had a few people write in with that one. Absolutely the hair room.
I'll have what she's having.
Marley Wan wrote in two moments. One is Kevin crying to Pam's breast in Happy Hour.
Oh, good one.
We might be desensitized because of how much I
we
like to play that drop.
Yeah.
Even as I'm talking. she says, I didn't even feel right typing that. The other one, the most cringe and offensive in any of the episodes, is Michael marking the waitress in Benihana. I can't believe we didn't talk about that, too.
That's a very good one. That's
cringy
terrible.
In every single way.
Yes.
You know, like Kevin's chili is cringy in real life, but like it is kind of played for Bugs Bunny effect. But like marking the waitress is there's no humor really at all in that moment.
I think in my mind and then in my memory, because the actresses are different, like it overshadows that moment, you know?
Yeah, which like is also crazy that they just switched actors. Yeah, anyway. Lorena wrote in, Jim walking in on the daycare director. taking a poop.
Oh, of course.
Is
yes.
pretty darn crazy. And just the whole way he tries to recover from that.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is from a guy who poops with the door unlocked. It's a safety issue. For children. Let's see. Jessica wrote in. Oh, I didn't agree with this one, but the Oscar making the It Gets Better video in Fee Family Portrait Studio, when Robert California interrupts him, makes his bizarre speech about sexuality, and then Kevin walks up and has this collision with Robert's head. Mm-hmm. Jessica just says that's super cringy.
Somebody left that in another voicemail as well. I don't think we're going to play it in this episode, but somebody called that one in as well. So, yeah.
Wait,
find out the different things that make different people cringe.
Kevin has a Kevin has a collision with Robert California's head. Did I hear?
Yeah, like
he kind of comes in behind when like Robert California goes back and like hits Kevin in the face.
Oh, I don't know. Okay.
Kevin almost like takes it as like little like a toddler. Like he's like, uh-huh.
All right. Okay. I've never noticed that.
Kathy wrote in season two. In the client, Jim telling Pam that they sort of had a first date when they're on the roof, and Pam says swaying isn't dancing.
Yeah.
The whole Did I Stutter, Kathy hates it more than Scott's Tots. Stanley seems angry and it feels really dark for The Office.
Yeah, very. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty darn cringy.
That's good. That's good.
And then Dunder Mifflin Infinity is Ryan asking Pam out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I can't. Yeah. I'm bummed. I'm disappointed. Yeah. I didn't think of that.
I mean, it just goes to show how many moments like this are in the, totality of the show. Yeah.
So many. Yeah. I mean, that one in particular is just like, it's not only that. You know that she's already dating Jim. It's that he's coming at it from the power angle of like, giving her something at work so that she'll go. Like, it's just, ugh.
Yep.
What a creep.
Yep. And then a few people wrote in. We got this one from David, but that Jim wearing his tuxedo, explaining to Charles why he's wearing a tuxedo at work. That one's really funny, but it is. Super cringy in the room.
Your name's Jim, right?
That part is Idris Elba like has such gravitas
so
in that
good.
Moment.
So good. Yeah.
It's like the best actor you could have chosen
and
for that.
We talk about the physicality of Jim and Dwight, like how they kind of like because they are able to oppose each other in a good like their physicality sort of matches up a little bit. Mm-hmm. Idris Elba definitely measures up to Jim in a funny way, or John Krasinski in a funny way for that kind of moment as well.
It's awesome. all right, that's all the... I didn't even get to the tots. This is from the post on our tots feed.
Okay, yes.
Which you can join in on. But Jen says, and here comes trouble when Andy says he has sex with a snowman.
Okay, yeah. So when he became the boner champ.
Jonathan with a hot take. Who's just saying, I still don't think Scott's Tots is cringy. At no point did any parent or school administrator ask Michael for payment in 10 years. Too much suspension of discipline.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah.
Meredith
says...
A very large, very gullible group of people.
Meredith says she can't believe Sean didn't immediately choose Pam's beach game speech.
I mean, I guess I went with Cafe Disco as sort of like to fill that slot, but I mean, to me, that's just like a skip like moment of the show. Sorry. But yes, thank you for the reminder. I definitely should have dropped that.
Also, Meredith brings up in Jury Duty when Jim brings in the kids and Kelly rips up the drawing. Similarly, when Jada comes in during search committee asking if Jim is the man making her daddy manager. Very cringe. And finally, Kelly writes in Michael forcing Ryan to sit on his lap in Secret Santa.
Oh, yeah. You can't force an employee to sit on your lap saying, I need this, I need this.
All right. That's all.
Thank you for everyone who wrote in, called in. And speaking of people who called in, we're going to go to voicemails.
Nice one.
Excellent. All right.
Effortless transition by me.
Very good. Very good. Okay, let's start off here with a call from Sophia in New York City.
Hey guys, this is Sophia calling from New York City, and I have a question for you.
I like the people I work with generally, with four exceptions. But someone committed a crime, and I did not become a Lackawanna County volunteer sheriff's deputy to make friends. By the way, I haven't.
Who do you think are the four exceptions to the people that Dwight likes at work? Thanks, guys. Love the show. Bye.
Thank you, Sophia.
Sophia, thank you.
Well prepped. Well executed.
I love this new trend of people including drops in the voicemails. Very professional. Okay. Thank you, Sophia. Who are the four exceptions? Who are the four people that...
This is from season two, so...
Yeah, drug testing, exactly. So we need to keep that in mind.
No Andy, no Karen.
So does Michael count?
The exceptions to people he likes.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, so Jim and Pam.
Right.
That Jim, he would say,
even
sure.
then, but even then with Pam, that this is post the injury.
Right. So he might
so
like Pam.
Does he
now.
Have a soft spot for Pam yet or at this point? But Jim, for sure. Jim is the easy one.
Meredith.
Yes.
I think Meredith is probably the other one.
Meredith and Creed are probably safe bets.
Mm-hmm. I would put Kevin.
And Kevin? I could see that maybe Dwight doesn't like respect Kevin. Or
Kevin, yeah. I mean, Dwight's things are like, you know, laziness, unintelligence, you know. Like,
yeah. I think that's a good four. So Jim, Meredith, Creed, Kevin?
Yeah, you know, if it were a different point in the show, I might say he might think of Kelly that way. But
yeah,
early in the show, that isn't the way that Dwight and Kelly are portrayed. You know,
he almost, might have a
almost crushes.
Yeah, he's exactly. So to... I don't think. Yeah, and then Ryan hasn't been around long enough, I think, to make too much of an impression on Dwight. Dwight in the next season tries to take him out on the sales pitch. So yeah, let's roll with that.
All right, good job, team.
Toby.
I think Toby
no, Michael
point,
hates Toby.
Is generally liked by everyone.
That's right.
At this
that's
point,
right.
Yeah.
That's
mm-hmm.
right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Smile, I feel like men's prostates.
And Dwight is also he's putting in filing a formal complaint with Toby about just about every day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. I love that. All right,
I gave Michael the box.
I just can't believe our public education system let him down so much. All right. Moving on to Ben in Pennsylvania.
Hey, MSPC, it's Ben from Reading. Listening to Amy's Ancestry, and I have another thought. There seems to be a unanimous love for one-off characters amongst the three of you, and I'm curious if you have the choice to put yourself in as a one-off character, who you would be, whether that would be one of the ones that was mentioned but never seen, or a brand new one. But I would have loved to have been one of the IT guys, like maybe shorts or something. And just maybe even just a quick cameo with a line or two. So I'm curious to see if you have ever pictured any of you being in one of those roles. So thanks for the podcast, and I will keep listening.
Thanks, Ben.
Keep listening. Thanks, Ben.
All right, who would you be if you were a one-off character? I'll go first because I don't want it to get taken. I want to be part of Dwight's family. I just want to be another brother, another cousin.
Dude, right now you look like you could be with that vest.
Thank you. That's right.
Sean is wearing a handsome vest today.
Yeah. But it's kind of got Amish vibes.
Oh, yeah, I would say so, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. that's really the way I'm going in life anyway. So I think that would be that's where I'd want to be. Plenty of room for comedy.
I could see Sean just in like a sepia toned photo in Dwight's house. That would be incredible.
Just Carhartt overalls. Mm-hmm. Making mead. Yeah.
How about you guys?
I would love to be a receptionist at one of the branches. Mm. All over the window.
Nice.
Yeah. But you only see them once, or maybe even just on a phone call.
I could see it. I could see you being like, hello, Michael.
I would, yeah. No, you know what's good? You would get like, you get good cameos, but then also your character would have a reason to get involved a lot. Like if people were visiting the branches and you could go on a little friend date with Rolando and Pam.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
As Michael suggests. I think I would like to be a traveling salesman a la Danny Cordray.
Nice.
Maybe not
or
to
Todd Packer.
I mean, I'm thinking of just like one-off characters, minor appearances.
Right.
Packer appears quite a bit. Danny's only in a handful of episodes. I think it would be fun to kind of come in and have like a dedicated role or something like that. And some sort of connection to the characters that they have to explain to the documentary crew or something like that.
That's great. I love that. And then you could have a whole storyline about how you went on a date with Pam. Mm-hmm. And then...
She thought I was too much of a dork.
Talked about The Office too much.
Yeah.
It'd be fun to be in the warehouse, but that's not quite a one-off. I wouldn't say that's a one-off character at all.
Right. You're going to get a lot of play.
But that would be the best.
You could be, I mean...
Maybe, you know what I would have actually is one of Robert California's musician friends who just shows up for that one scene.
The one who's really good at drumming.
Yeah.
You could do that.
I would have liked that role.
Maybe a waiter in a restaurant who pours water to interrupt Michael while he's during his double date.
Waiter D at Cooper's.
Mm-hmm. I shall bring you a bowl of pickles.
Nice.
I'm just trying to think of characters from the minor character draft. But anyway, sorry, let's keep going.
Okay. I know. The student at the business lecture.
Oh, you'd be a great limo lady.
Concerned shareholder would be your role title.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ben. Let's move on. Move on to the next one here. This is coming from Darren in New Jersey.
Hey, fellas, this is Darren from New Jersey. First of all, I want to say you are my favorite and only Office podcast. I've been listening for a long time, and you always bring a smile on my face. Two things about Jim and Pam. The whole Alex subplot when Pam goes to Pratt was totally ridiculous. No need for that. Total stupidity. And the fact that they were actually pushing for her to have an affair that got axed because the fans were so annoyed by it was even more ridiculous. But here's my point. I always wanted to ask you guys what you thought of this. If you're Jim, someday when you and Pam are together, you're going to lean over to her and say, hey, by the way, when Toby was going away at the big party, that was all me. Fireworks, the ambiance. Andy totally stole the moment. I was going to propose to you there. Right? I would need that credit. I would need my lead to know that I made the effort. So let me know what you think. Glad you guys are still doing the pod all these years later. Take care, guys. Bye.
Thanks, Darren. I wrote down just one note on this question. Yes, definitely. I figure he would wait until after he'd proposed, right? So once they're engaged, he can be like, by the way, I did try this already, and I actually spent a lot of money on it.
Yeah.
Because he puts up the money for the fireworks and the...
He sure does.
Yeah.
On one hand, okay, so...
Plus Michael's shoe money, I think.
That's what I was going to say. Pam is in the room when... And she says, so how much anti-gravity potion do you want? And Angela says, no, you know what? There's not a party planning committee anymore, and I don't want your foot money, and I feel uncomfortable participating. Phyllis, can you plan this party? Or can you do
this? Can you do this?
Yeah. And so I think... But Jim does also give money for fireworks, so that does happen. And I think probably in Jim's mind, he thought that he paid for the whole thing. So... I would love to have seen in season 9 when Jim said, or Pam says to Jim, tell me something about you I don't know.
Right.
And he would say,
I
put up the money for Goodbye Toby. And she would say, no, Michael pulled a bunch of money out of his shoe. It would be.
I thought that was Michael's shoe money.
Yeah. I think that would be a funny moment. Similar to when Michael or Jim and Pam talk about Dwight dating Angela or hooking up with Angela, and they realize, like, oh, we should have talked about this a long time ago. We should have started dating forever.
Yeah.
I think it would have been a nice moment to maybe alleviate some of the tension in season 9. That would have been good.
I love that, Edwin. I think that would have been a
fantastic
great missed opportunity.
Fantastic answer. Mm-hmm. Thank
Great
you,
question.
Darren. Great question.
Yeah, thank you.
Let's move on. We're going to Faye in Denver. Sorry.
Dave.
We're going to Dave in North Carolina. Faye, you're on deck.
What up, Cynthia? This is Dave from North Carolina. Listening back through the podcast, y'all just celebrated your 50th episode, and I was like, hey, that's cool, and you're so excited, but I know what's coming. And sure enough, seven episodes later, coronavirus and the world went to hell. Anyway, my question for you guys is kind of meta. I think that peak Michael Scott podcast company is Alex interrupting Sean with the drops. It kills me every single time. What do you guys think the peak for your podcast is? Thanks. Love the show. Bye.
Oh, man, that's really
warning,
fun.
warning.
I miss those days.
That makes me happy.
Why don't you shut up?
Oh, man, now Alex
We're
is
back.
So much more
hey,
aggressive.
Everyone. Kevin's going to give us his take on the situation. Let's listen up.
Go ahead, Sean.
I'm done. I'm good.
I'm done too. You can see my hands.
Okay.
He's got his hands up in the air.
What?
He's waving them like he's waving like he just doesn't hands. Care.
Yeah. What do you guys think is your peak podcast?
I guess the question is in terms of what we've like recorded audio for us. Okay.
This is a very meta, very just
It's not like I'm going to say our peak was years ago.
We have been rolling down the hill like a stone, that becomes an avalanche.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
We saw that shark and we jumped right over it. Yeah.
I mean, what is our peak podcast? I mean, I certainly love, man. Like listener interaction, voicemail, like answering people's voicemails, the questions that you guys come up with can be so much more creative than what we think of to discuss sometimes. So, I mean, for me, when does the podcast like, you know, reach that point of like, you know, oh, this is awesome. I think just getting a great question from somebody and one that sparks a lot of discussion. So,
yeah.
I think that or arguing with Edwin about Cafe Disco being bad.
I think that there's a moment that comes to my head, which is, and Nate falls to his knees, and we all laugh really hard at that. I don't know why that stands out so much, but I think for me, the moments that I enjoy the most on this show is the moments when all three of us are laughing. I'll say together, even though sometimes it happens when Alex throws in a drop to interrupt Sean. But I think whenever we can laugh together, and hopefully the listeners find it funny too, like that's kind of a peak for me, I guess, in terms of like the recorded content that we put out. Yeah.
So for me, peak podcast would be that small time when like the actual logistics of making the show to me are some of the peak podcasts. Like when we were doing it at Open Signal, like that was really fun.
Oh, right. We used to record it in an Airstream trailer in a parking lot.
It was like 2 months that we did that.
Yeah.
And, but I really loved
mostly
it.
Mostly during the winter.
It was very cold in there, but the energy was so much better when we were in that small trailer together.
It was a tiny table too.
We were kind of on top of each other.
Yeah.
And we had pictures of Bob Boylan and
and
Ira Glass and
Terry Gross,
staring down upon us with approval.
Patron saints of the microphone. And I don't know, that was just a really special period where it was still like there was still so much left to talk about. And it was sort of I think we'd just gotten the drops going or somewhere around there. It was just a really kind of golden time.
That was a time when we all lived so close enough to Open Signal that it was just like an easy pretty easy commute for all of us.
Yeah,
too.
Well, it was great. And then we'd like go out for a beer afterwards.
Yeah, it was nice.
Get some food. And like now Edwin's in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Sean and I are still kind of close. But
I mean, it's a whole different world now.
This is all part of my 5-year plan. A couple years ago, I moved to LA. Now I'm in Europe. Soon I'll be in Antarctica. And in no time at all, they'll send me out into space.
It's kind of crazy, like looking at our whole lives and just how, in particular, the last 4 years we've been doing this show.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 3.5, almost 4, is like it's been some of the biggest life changes we've all ever had. Has been in this period
big time.
Of the show.
Oh yeah,
we had so much time to do this show when we weren't doing anything for Alex, years.
I remember when COVID was just hitting. Alex was buying his house with Anne, know. And since then, you guys have gotten married. I've gotten married, bought a house. Edwin's traveling the world. Like it's, mm-hmm.
I've been married and divorced several times.
Moved. Moved cities, states, countries. It's crazy. Mm-hmm.
It is wild.
Anyway. I'm off the grid, guys. You'll never find me.
Well, Faye's been waiting on deck here for like 15
that's
minutes.
True.
So let's get over to her. She's been taking warm-up cuts for a while. She's ready. All right. As I said, Faye in Denver.
Hey, this is Faye. I'm a Denver tot.
Nice.
My question is, I would like to know the situations that most annoy you on the show. Mine are mostly the fake phone calls. For example, the first episode, Jim is obviously not talking to anyone. And then in Bring Your Daughter to Work Day, even Steve Carell does a terrible job with a fake phone call. When he says, I promise I'll call you back to a person. I thought that was ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And I would love to know what annoys you most. What situations annoy you most? Anyways, doesn't matter. Gotta go. Going to the go-go.
Faye, thank you so much. Great question.
That's a great reference.
Or like that fake phone call when Michael's on the phone with corporate and he's like, these are my friends and I care about them.
Or you just told the mayor he lost 6 votes. I love you too. Yeah.
And then I took her to the penis museum where tickets were $1,000. That's not a phone call. Moments in the show that annoy you, maybe kind of more from this. I would say this is almost maybe more from like a production standpoint. They didn't decide to have somebody like actually link up the phone and have someone reading the other lines. And I don't know. So is there anything that annoys you?
Yeah, I have a certain type of situation. Happens a handful of times, but it's just when.
Do you guys hear that?
Yeah, there's music playing.
We're getting a call.
Do you want to take it?
Yeah.
Do you want to take this call?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Faye, sorry. Will we be able to hear it?
Call from. Hey guys, this is Tara from Texas. To accept, press 1. To send a voicemail,
accept.
Press 2.
Accept. Press 1.
Hello?
Tara?
Hello?
Hello?
Whoa. So,
hey.
Tara, we are recording a voicemail episode right now.
Right
you
now.
You just called us, so we picked up.
No.
Yeah, hi.
Are you serious?
This has never happened before.
This has never happened. You're live on the show
right now. I'm so excited.
This has never happened before. Yeah, this is totally. Can you hear Sean and Edwin?
Hello.
Is this Alex?
Yeah.
Am I literally talking to Alex?
Okay, so I think, yes, hold on. So, Tara, so she can only hear me.
Okay.
It's going through my computer, but Sean and Edwin are here as well.
Hello, Tara, if you could hear that.
I would love to ask my question to Sean and Edwin.
Yeah, she has a question.
Is that okay?
They can hear you, by the way.
This is incredible. Yeah.
I think she can only hear me. Okay.
If I scream into the microphone.
That is so funny because I literally just, typed this out in my notes and I practiced it and I was going to leave this awesome voicemail and then I'd hear hello and I was like, what?
That must have been bizarre.
Oh my gosh.
Did I call the wrong number? I know that 503 is Oregon, but what is happening? Okay. So here's what I was going to say to you guys. First of all, I was going to say this is Tara from Texas and that's as specific as I'd like to be. At least we're still being honest with each other. And then I was going to ask you guys about the other day I was listening to Welcome to Our Show, which is the New Girl. as part of the Emmy nomination process, mm-hmm. every actor has to submit an episode to the committee that they feel like best represents their work as that character.
Oh.
And it got okay. me thinking, I wonder what Steve Carell submitted every single season to the Emmy nomination committee, even though he never won, which is a travesty. Right. I would just love to hear y'all's thoughts about, you know, which episode should he have submitted for season one that represents his best work as Michael Scott, and season two, and so forth for his seven seasons. So that was my question.
Tara, That's such a good question. Thank you so much. This is awesome. I can't believe this has never happened.
And it's so funny because I've been wanting to leave it myself for so long, and I was like, no. And then just now I was like, okay, I'm doing it. I'm calling. Here I go. So that worked out so great.
Excellent. Well, I think maybe since you can't hear Sean and Edwin, we'll just go ahead and answer this. We'll hang up and answer it, and then we'll put this episode out tomorrow, and you can you can hear it.
Oh my gosh, that's gonna be so much fun. Also, side note, Alex, I feel like your laugh when you really start laughing hard and you're really cracked up. I feel like you sound exactly like John Krasinski when he on the bloopers starts laughing and really gets cracked up. So you need to do a drop challenge where you put yourself side by side with John and let's see.
Okay. If I think I know the specific noise that you're thinking of.
I do too.
Yes, it's that really high pitch. Like I'm losing it and I can't hold it in. Yeah.
Yes, that is apt.
Well, it was so pleasant to speak with you. I love your podcast. You guys are so much fun to listen to. And thank you for answering the phone.
Thank you, Tara.
Thank you, Tara.
Thank you. Yeah, well, keep a listen out. And I hope you enjoy the episode.
Okay, thanks, Alex.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Tara.
This is going to happen again later in this episode.
If people realize they could do this, they're going to start trying to time it.
It's Gizmet.
I guess we could do call-ins now.
Well, if they could, we can figure out how they can hear us. We'll work on.
I'd have to really engineer that. But
okay.
Yeah, this could just be a live show from here on out.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
No more prep.
Okay. You want to? Let's. I think we should lightning round this question. Like we should just go. Like yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Sorry. Just answer. Faye is back on deck for 1 second.
No, I think like Phyllis says.
Yeah.
To Michael. Don't think, just answer. Best work is Michael Scott seasons 1-9. Do you want to go 1-9?
Yeah, I mean,
or 1-7. 1-7 plus 9 is a bonus.
Yeah. Okay, I mean, the injury is definitely going to be on.
Okay, wait,
on my
season
list.
One.
Okay, season one. Sorry, Diversity Day.
I'll say basketball.
I'll say the pilot.
Okay.
Okay.
Season 2.
Season 2.
The injury. I already said that.
I'll take the Dundies.
The Client.
The client's a pretty good one. Yeah.
It's a pretty good. Mm-hmm. Oh wait, I'm taking Boys and Girls.
Okay, yeah.
Casino
Night's also great. Sorry. Yeah. Okay, I said it already.
Yep, season 3. Season 3.
Season 3, the merger. Even Gay Witch Hunt is.
Pick one.
Beach Games.
I'm gonna say merger.
Okay.
I'm going to take the convict.
I already said Beach Games. I can't.
I'm going to take the convict.
All right, season 4.
Money.
Season 4. Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
You take Dinner Party, but I'm taking that's a Money. Good
one. I'm going to take Goodbye, Toby.
Yeah, that's good, too.
Season 5.
Survivor Man is a lot of Michael.
Survivor Man is a lot of Michael. That's a good pick.
Oh, in unison.
Yeah. Season 5, I'm taking MSPC.
I'm going to take Company Picnic.
Yeah.
Weight Loss is also great. Company Picnic, I can't revisit. I got to stop.
Crime Aid, fantastic.
Lecture,
I got to go Michael Scott.
Circuit has a wide range from Michael.
That's great.
Also,
no, that's
harder. Two-parter. You get a lot of meat. A lot of meat on the bone there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Season 6.
Gossip.
Oh. I might even say, well, murder. You got him doing an accent the whole time. He's in a dialect the whole time. Or there's a lot of emotion in the lover also.
There is. I'm going to take Koi Pond for the acting that was required.
Good one.
I got gossip just because of all the rumors and everything that he has to do and clean up and him interacting with the interns. Yeah. Season 7?
I mean, counseling.
Mm. It's a good one.
You get a
thank you, doctor. Take two of these and call me in the morning.
That's pretty darn good.
I can go with Goodbye, Michael.
Yeah, I think. I mean, that's got to. You've even got a genuine performance for, or it's not even a performance, right? You get a genuine reaction from the actor in that episode when they start singing to him.
Yeah.
Well, that's Michael's last Dundies.
I'll take Michael. I was going to say, I'm going to take Michael's last Dundies.
There you go. It all, they can blur together. I get it.
Yeah.
Season 8.
Well, that's it.
Season 9, I'll take the finale. Okay. There you go. I picked it.
Awesome. Again, Tara, thank you for calling in. Do we... guys, that call came in the middle of Faye's question.
Let's go back. I was answering what moments I find to annoy me. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. And for me in the show, it's those moments when a character could just take 2 to 3 seconds to really quickly explain what just happened or what they're thinking and everything would be resolved. This happens several times. Obviously, the most notable one for me is Pam in art school when she could just be like, oh, sorry, I'm in the wrong class.
Yeah.
All you have to say.
Yep. Yep.
Please sit down.
And also that would never happen.
Another one is Jim is this way with Charles a lot, like with the rundown. Jim just be like, when you say a rundown, what exactly? Just like
you just want a list of clients and
just clear it up, man. I get why he doesn't, but like, come on. And then the other one would be Holly when the reveal of Kevin. Who's not mentally challenged. She could just be like, no, Dwight totally tricked me. Like, Dwight said he was. Like, just say what happened. Anyway, those moments are like, come on, guys.
For me, I think a lot of it is there is something very funny when Jim can't escape and has to kind of struggle and squirm in a situation. I feel like the writers go to that well a little too often in the later seasons.
Yeah.
It's not super annoying. It just feels like it's a little overdone where it's super underdone maybe in the first part of the series.
Overbaked, underproved. Let's move on.
Thank you, Faye.
Thank you, Faye. All right. Faye. All right, let's get over to...
Call him in, guys. Call him in.
Yes. Let's go over to... Oh, this is a wild voicemail. Let's go over to Chris in Michigan.
Yo, it's Chris from Michigan calling again. Man, I just want to say, I'm still pissed, man. I understand. I had my mouth all ready for some hash. Okay? Now, one of you might get this reference. It's from Harlem Nights. Red Fox is talking to Della Reese. And he wanted some hash. He didn't make the hash. I want some eggnog. Anyway, the point is, I was ready for the Michael Scott Podcast Company like I'm used to on Thursday. But then today I had to remember, you guys are only doing one episode every 2 weeks. And you're hoping to be a bigger episode every 2 weeks. That's great. But I need my Michael Scott Podcast Company every week. I need it. I can't live without it. What am I going to do? No, seriously, though, but I miss you guys. And please, make next week, the episode's got to be, 3 hours long now or something, man. So I can listen to an hour and a half. Or can you do, two episodes every 2 weeks so I can, parcel them out through the day? Like, Michael, please, I need it. I need it! We need it!
Oh my!
Wow,
Chris, thank you.
Incredible.
Okay, I'm adding. What, he said Harlem Nights. That's going to the top of my watch list. I'll try and watch that tonight.
thank you for clarifying the reference.
Yeah.
But and thank you for your voicemail.
That sounded incredible. Like Chris Tucker at the end too. Ow.
Well, Chris, how are you guys? I mean, we've been trying to do some more every week type stuff. I think you might see some weekly content dropped for the rest of this year. I'm not promising anything, but
you can't see it, but Sean is dancing around a line. He's walking a very fine line on his tiptoes.
Hear you.
Trapeze outfit on.
I'll just say this. We want to put out a show every week. So like we're trying to figure that out. I think we kind of plan to get back to that cadence. So thank you. Thanks for your patience. Thanks for wanting it so bad that we're working on it.
Calling in to yell at us helps too. Of just someone being like, "Hey, get your act together, guys. Like, I need this."
Sometimes you need a pep talk.
Because as much as we need it, it helps to know that other people need it. And yes, that makes it a lot easier to do when it's, you know, being received that way.
I think, yeah, we want to stay on the weekly cadence. It's just been tough. So we're trying the best we can, and we're going to keep trying the best we can. And Limo Lady, we're going carbon neutral.
Hell yeah. Thank you. I mean, incredible work there.
Thank you.
Really
thank
amazing
you,
stuff.
You. Yeah. Really piece of art.
All right. Let's move on to Kelly down in Florida. I'm going to go get a cup of coffee while I play this. So I'll be right back, but we'll just keep it rolling.
Okay.
Hi, this is Kelly calling from Florida. And I just wanted to tell you that my husband and I were sitting here trying to find something to watch on Hulu when we come across The Office based in India. It is all... also made by BBC. They have a Diwali episode, and I have watched probably 2 minutes of it, and I'm super excited to watch the rest of it, and I kind of want you guys to watch at least the pilot or maybe the Diwali episode and say something about it, because I didn't know it existed, and if you guys already knew it existed, then pretend you didn't, because I'm really excited.
Well, Alex is still gone, but thank you.
Thank you, Kelly.
So, let me pose it to you this way, I guess. And here comes Alex back with his coffee. He's walking up to the microphone now and sitting down. My thought listening to this voicemail is, well, first of all, did you guys know about this version of The Office?
Yes. It's fairly new, isn't it?
I don't know. It might be. I've just seen clips going around.
It looks like it's from 2019. Mm-hmm. And that might be, it just might be two seasons. So anyways, yes, I knew about this. There are other offices in other countries. Did you guys know about that?
Other countries have office buildings. Yes.
My question for you guys is, it just made me think of this. So we have the Office, obviously, in the UK. We have this American version of The Office, this version in India. What other countries would maybe you like to see? There's also that SNL sketch of The Office set in Japan. Mm-hmm. When Steve Carell was host. What other countries would you like to see?
So I'm just going to say there are other offices in other countries. There's La Job in Canada. There's La Office in Chile. You got Czech Republic, Finland, France, Germany, India, Israel, Poland, Sweden, UK, US, and South Africa. Those are all the versions that exist.
Okay, all of those are off the table.
So if you do enjoy The Office, other versions of The Office, there's all those ones to go check out. But I mean, I'd love to see The Office Mexico. I'm surprised that's not on the list.
That'd be cool. Yeah.
I don't know why.
Yeah. I'd like actually, to go.
Sorry. I'll finish my thought real quick. I'll just finish my thought. When we were in Mexico City, we went to a tour guide took us to like luchador wrestling, and they were like, everyone in Mexico City is very polite, and then this is where they let it all out, and it's like, you know, just normal people screaming the most offensive things they can think of, and everyone's just having a great time. So I don't know. I feel like, you know, maybe the way that society is, that you could play with you know, with that, with anyways, everyone being polite all the time. Go ahead, Al. Sorry.
No, that's a good answer. I was actually thinking I'd like to go. I don't even know where it would be, but just going way back in time, like medieval time office. You know, but like same feel, same general.
It's called the farm.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. Like the first, like,
yeah,
letterpress shop making,
yeah, yeah, ye old shop.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like old Victorian England. Something like that. I'd like to see that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, ye old shop. That's what it's called.
Yeah,
ye old shop.
That's what it's called. Yeah, yeah.
That's good.
They eat many of the same foods that Dwight brings to Dwight Christmas.
Yeah. I don't know. Something way at it. Like, yeah, give me like a Mongolia or Kazakhstan. Just something way out there.
Papua New Guinea.
I thought you were going to say set way distant in the way distant future.
Way distant future. The ghost of Christmas way future.
I think, obviously, the Philippines, just from being Filipino, that's something I'd love to see. Also, I recently watched a K-drama, and they had like depictions of office culture, and it made me wonder like what that would be like in like a Korean setting. But
oh, yeah, I'm almost surprised that one doesn't exist. Yeah, it doesn't seem like there is... I mean, India is the closest you get to an Asian version of the show.
I've seen like the title sequence of that one. It's cool. Yeah. Mm.
Is there a Japanese one or not?
Nope.
It was just that skit. Okay, that, I mean, I would love to see.
So there you go.
Yeah, that's true.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Like, especially the
that could be a much more depressing show, possibly.
That could end up being, yeah, even darker than the UK version if you want it to be. And you could get the Yakuza involved, get Hide involved in that show.
Mm-hmm. And they can maybe go with Ryan's story. Idea for origami.
Yeah.
The sushi of paper.
Perfect. Awesome. Great. Awesome. Thank you. Great question, Kelly. Let's go to, we got two more here. This next one is from Tiffany.
Hi, this is Tiffany from Brooklyn, New York. I have a question. I am very confused as to why characters in The Office wouldn't laugh when funny things are happening. Like when Oscar is doing his "this plantation" voice. Why wouldn't you laugh at that? Like, why can people not break? I don't understand. What's the reason? I laugh at everything. So maybe that's why I think people should be laughing. But I don't understand why they have to keep a straight face when funny things are happening. Because when funny things happen to me at work, I laugh. So I don't get why other people can't in the office. And I'm probably going over the time, so I'm going to hang up now.
Tiffany, thanks for your call. That's a good question. I like this question. Why don't people laugh in the office when funny things are happening? I would say that it's because you have to remember that those characters aren't present in the moment. Typically, when they're in that conference room, they're all sitting there thinking, I have so much work to do. I should be back at my desk. This is so stupid. So part of it might be that they're not even really totally engaged or paying attention. And I think also just like,
way off mic there, bud.
I think, how often, as someone who works in an office a lot, I think funny things happen all the time that no one laughs at. You know, you don't want to embarrass people, or you don't want to, you want to just keep a professional vibe. And yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I think it's realistic is what I'm saying.
It also has to be played that way for comedy, right? It has to be taking itself seriously. That's why it's funny for the viewer, is that no one is laughing when that thing is happening. And that's just making a comedy show. But I agree with you, Sean. You're right. When you look back, with awkward things happen, or like there's a lot of times it's just sort of like head down. And in my head, I'm thinking, I can't wait to tell the story later to somebody because it's really funny. But I didn't laugh in the moment because it wasn't appropriate for whatever reason.
Right.
I think that, like you said, a lot of it has to do with the fact that the comedy derives from like the awkwardness or the tension of the situation a lot of times, or the fact that characters kind of misunderstand each other or they're miscommunicating, you know? I think it's just a big piece of it. And there is actually a moment where the characters all laugh at a ridiculous situation. It's in healthcare in season one. They all start laughing at the fake diseases. And I kind of wish there were more scenes like that, where the characters could kind of laugh. But it also kind of paints, I mean, the image of the office that is portrayed by the other characters, I think Stanley is talking about this is a run out the clock situation, where they're working down in the warehouse. And I think there are like elements of that that just have to be preserved. That the fact that everybody just kind of wants to go home, that they don't really care about being friends because Michael wants to bring everyone together as a family so much. I agree that I wish there were a couple more scenes, kind of like that scene in healthcare where the characters could laugh a little bit. But we get
Gabe's
more isolated.
Caption contest?
Yeah. Oh, perfect. Great example. Great example. Or when they laugh about, like, the Cole office laughs about Jim, like, maybe get some records or something, or ran out of messy spray for his
babies.
Hair.
I mean, Koi Pond. I mean, there's like, as the show goes on, I think that's part of it too. Like, as the show goes on, they're all so comfortable now with each other. They don't think about things. They don't worry about stuff like embarrassing each other or, you know,
well, and like they laugh at jokes that are told in the show, you know, a lot of the times, but they don't necessarily aren't laughing at the moments because they don't have the vantage point that we do.
Right.
Like Kevin laughs at the Michael's narc joke. I think the other thing too is in the early seasons, Jim and Pam laugh so much together that the other characters not laughing it's kind of funny because it's like, oh, they aren't so delightful, you know, not everyone sees them that way. Like Dwight says, the new boss doesn't find Jim adorable. I think that's just part of it. But, you know, it's funny, too. Like, there are – I think it's How I Met Your Mother. There is a sitcom where they do show scenes of characters laughing like that, and it kind of takes you out of the moment a little bit.
I haven't seen that. But, I mean, it just makes me think of, too, like, it's like this is part of The Office. Like, this, I mean, you look at, you know, that Big Bang Theory clip where someone removed all the laugh track, and it's, you know, arguably not funny anymore. I mean, the beauty of The Office is that all these jokes are landing with no cues to you that you're supposed to laugh, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think that that's what, it's one of the things that makes The Office unique and great. I think there's certainly times where it's like, I think your specific example, Tiffany, of Oscar doing the voice during the murder thing is a moment where they might have broke because they're already engaged in this.
They're already playing a game.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So
Stanley laughing during Scott's Tots, probably one of the best laughs of the whole show.
easily. But then, you know, on the other side of it, it's like you probably wouldn't laugh in the room during dinner party at any time.
No.
Even though that's one of the funniest episodes.
No.
It's just like, no way. But yeah, great question. All right, let's move on to our last one. This one is from Bailey in New Hampshire.
Oscar, I'm going to need a list of every man you've ever had sex with. I'm talking train stations, men's rooms, flower shops, firework celebrations, fence with a hole in it, moonlit gondola, carriage ride through Central Park, the woods behind the liquor store, the swamp behind the old folks' home, electric car dealership, the Democratic Party. Oscar, think about it. Think. Hey guys, this is Bailey from New Hampshire. Been a long time listener of the podcast. Really love what you guys are doing.
I just wanted to ask you what you guys believe are some of the backstories for some of these people that end up in the office. Like, for example, I know we all know Andy went to an Ivy League. So what do you think, you know, the requirements are for these jobs that these people are getting inside the office? Thanks so much, and keep doing what you guys are doing. Bye.
Thank you, Bailey.
That's a great question.
Great question. Yeah, so you mentioned Andy, of course, went to an Ivy League school. I will say I watched a interview with Creed one time where he explained that he and Ken Kwapis came up with a whole backstory for Creed, that Ed Truck picked him up as a hitchhiker, and then they sort of went on a Fear and Loathing trip together, and and he ended up with a job after that.
That tracks.
I mean, you get little hints too. You get, like, you know, Kevin was applying for a job in the warehouse and Michael picked him as an accountant. So that kind of points to, okay, who is Kevin really then? I don't know. What are some other ones that come to mind for you guys?
I like this question because it kind of calls out the fact that The Office is a really unique mix of people and a really unique mix of characters. Like, their ages are often highlighted as differences and often are jokes for Michael. But we don't really get a sense of where everyone came from. I think we get a sense from Pam that she kind of took a job as a young person and stayed in that job for a while. And like, that's kind of how she found her way of just being in the office. Same with Jim a little bit. I think they both kind of thought it might've been temporary stops. I think I would love to know more about Stanley's backstory as a salesman. I mean, he's been working there for so long.
Same
with Phyllis.
Stanley used to be a Black Panther. Or, you know, close to.
Oh, I've meant to bring this up, but we've had people ask us about verbal earworms. And Stanley saying, "Look at those biceps." is one of those. Anyway,
we were fighting the power and whatever we wanted.
This brings up the question, though, like with Stanley and other people, I wonder how many people are from Scranton. Like, we know Phyllis, you know, Michael, Pam,
Jim,
like the people, but like, I feel like we would have heard that's, well, it was Jim's alma mater, so it was like they did go to Jim's high school.
Jim's parents live in Scranton.
So, right.
Mom drives him to work, so he must have roots in Scranton.
But you got to think some people must have come from, like I could see Stanley. He wasn't probably, I can't imagine there was an active Black Panther wing in Scranton, but maybe in Philadelphia. So I'm wondering if, like, you know, is Stanley from Philadelphia, and then one of his wives, he moved out, you know, to Scranton or something and then stayed there?
Yeah. I think certainly Meredith had a really wild ride before. I think she had a kid and then had to settle down and get a job. But I could see her being like not even having a permanent home or job and just kind of traveling around, like being a groupie for a while for a rock band or something like that. Never letting the party die.
We busted.
Toby used to be in the convent.
Seminary.
The seminary? Yeah.
The convent.
What a creep.
I mean, there's that line from Daryl where he says, "What college you go to, Mike?"
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go. So it makes me wonder that, you know, think that Michael, he talked about working in a fast food restaurant. Men's warehouse. And you think probably he got a sales job and just kind of wrote it out in Dunder Mifflin. And then you get this thing from Dwight during the New Leeds episode when they're in the dump and they're talking and Michael says, "You've changed." And Dwight says, "When I first met you, I had a lot of job offers. I had an offer from Ivan Shartsky, Ivan Shartsky. And if I had assistant to the managed him, that's low. I would be number two right now at a Home Depot." Like, imagine Dwight, the Home Depot assistant to the regional manager.
Yeah. I think excuse me. I think like, there's plenty of people like Jim, Pam, you know, maybe even someone like Phyllis, you know, who's like, I think there's a lot of people who like couldn't, like Jim and Pam in particular, didn't know what they want to do with their lives. And I think that they probably, if they even went to college, because I don't know, do we even find out if they did? Did Jim just go to, like, community college in Scranton? Or
I think maybe a few of them have that kind of a background. Not, yeah. I don't want to say certain characters, but that seems like something that might happen, yeah.
Not to say, like, I just think that, like, they didn't know what they wanted to do or couldn't decide what they wanted to do, and so there was a little bit of kind of just hanging out and not really doing much of anything and accepting their fate. So I feel like Jim and Pam in particular kind of have boring backstories. I feel like Jim probably moved in with his best friend from high school. That's who his roommate is during the karaoke party. And mm-hmm. Yeah,
they're not like, a lot of them aren't that terribly old. I'm sure Aaron probably had a similar trajectory to Pam. Mm-hmm. In Scranton, but
although
she might
Aaron
have moved
had
around.
Foster,
I mean, we actually
she
get
had the foster home.
We actually,
kind
yeah,
of thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We actually get her background. We know, Daryl, same thing. I mean, you know, they probably they're not that old when we first meet them.
I'd love an origin story of how Dwight makes it off the farm and into a corporate world.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, why like, is
where,
he?
Because his parents. Doing? Yeah.
Now I'm thinking of. Sorry to go back to Daryl. I'm thinking of when he talks about working at a gas station in the summers. And Aaron's like, see, I bet you wouldn't sell that for all the money in the world. And he's like, if I were broke, then yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. Like, characters that come in later seem to have a little more backstory. Like, they have to justify why they're there.
Yeah,
like, when I think about
true.
Aaron, even Gabe, Robert California.
Joe Bennett.
Even D'Angelo, yeah. You kind of get more of, like, who he is.
He was a homeless
Annie
man.
Shelto.
Annie Shelto. So it's funny when, like, they come in later, it's they have to be like, who are you? Why are you here? But that's not really necessary at the beginning. And the show's pretty unconcerned with Oscar's, you know, how he grew up, you know, or, yeah, what how did Meredith get that way? Or even where did Todd Packer... You know, where did he come from?
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter, but it's fun to talk about. Good
yeah,
question.
A fun question. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
We have time for Top of Swissmas because we cut
excellent.
It last week. And boy, am I ready. Thank you. Thank you for all the voicemails, by the way. This is an excellent batch.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's take a quick break and we'll meet back up in the conference room.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
That means conference room, 5 minutes. No, 5 seconds.
Hello and welcome to Top of Swissmas, where I regale Sean, Alex, and all of you with some tales from my time here in Switzerland. these are kind of random things. I think it was on a main feed episode, but I talked about getting stopped and asked for directions a few episodes ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought they were telling me that I was breaking some sort of etiquette or law, but later it was clarified that they were asking me for directions. I have been asked for directions like 4 or 5 more times since then.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, you have a kind face.
Thanks. I guess so. It's for whatever reason, like, I have to do the same thing where I can't help.
Yeah.
Even sometimes I kind of know what they're talking about, but like, I can't actually give them directions besides like pointing.
Are they Americans? Yeah.
No, they come up to me and speak in German and like or Swiss German, and I funny. Can't help them. Yeah.
So funny.
Mm-hmm.
I think you just have an approachable aura, Edwin. You're just like that guy.
So.
That gentleman will help us.
Mm-hmm. He seems safe.
Hello and welcome to Zurich, Switzerland. okay, here's another one.
Yeah, just when they ask, just give them a QR code to our podcast.
Yeah.
Guerrilla marketing, baby.
A couple weeks ago, I went to a concert, and while they were letting everyone in, like it was kind of a big crowd to kind of move in through these.
What main concert?
Doors. Jacob Banks. He's like an R&B soul singer from the UK. Really, really good. Highly, highly recommend. An amazing show. He has an incredible voice. Yeah.
Nice.
But as we were all filing in, there was a guy who was kind of like hurrying through the crowd, cutting through the crowd with like a plate of what looked like a risotto. walking into a crowded concert hall. It was one of the funnier, more out of context things I had ever seen. Like, why would you need to deliver risotto to a concert? I stood behind the mixing table when during the show, and I'm pretty sure that's where it went.
Oh,
but just the visual of a guy carrying a risotto into a concert venue was just absolutely ridiculous. As a sequel to, I told this story about when I moved to LA, and I was like,
"What say we do?"
When I moved to LA, and I got a massage, and the lady kept saying, "Tight, everything tight."
Yeah, I remember that.
So I got a massage when I was in Basel a couple weeks ago to watch this tennis tournament, and mm-hmm. and same sort of thing, like, you know, just kind of just stress from moving and trying to find a new place, walking a lot more, and. Like, I was at a certain point during the massage, I told the lady, like, it's okay, it feels really good. And she laughed for a long time. She's like, I had no idea. It was the same sort of experience where.
This must be.
She's like, I don't know how you're. I wasn't sure if you were enjoying it or not. Like, but it was a very funny sequel to that story, which I would have totally forgotten if not somebody had brought it up on another voicemail. Another one, I accidentally bought scented toilet paper.
Oh, with scented toilet paper.
I didn't even realize existed. Like, I feel like that's a punchline from like 90s sitcoms or something. But
that's not a thing in America.
It smells so strong.
It's gross. I accidentally bought some once too. It is. Ooh. It is the devil's work. It's so bad.
I opened this cabinet where, and I was, oh, what does that smell?
Yeah, it's. Yeah. Oh God,
it's really strong. That's
gross.
Geological.
Doesn't seem like it'd be good for your nethers.
No, yeah, I'm not. I don't want to add more fragrances, chemicals in there. Hell no.
No.
It already smells like poop. Then, like, what's it going to cover it up?
It was just, I didn't realize that it existed. It was a very strange thing to stumble
upon. I didn't know that existed.
And then last thing, I'm apartment hunting. Like, I'm trying to find an apartment. It's pretty difficult. I've seen a ton of places and applied at a few.
Yeah,
it's funny
because
a lot of... and a lot of these places that are a lot of people will show up to an open viewing, and sometimes these people will have really long conversations with either the landlord or the tenant or who's ever showing the property in German or Swiss German. And then like, I'm waiting there to ask a question. They like talk for so long. And then I'm like, so laundry's downstairs. And they're like, yes. I'm like, okay. Like, what were they talking about? Like,
they're like, oh, that guy just asked the same thing.
It's a very, very funny experience to just like, they have these long conversations about all sorts of things, and I feel like I'm not asking the right questions. But
that's Lost in Translation when Bill Murray is doing the Japanese whiskey commercial.
Oh, yeah.
And the director is like going on and on and on in Japanese, and then the translator just turns to him and goes, look into the camera. And like, I can't remember what she keeps saying the same thing over and over again. He's just like, yeah, and he's just like, that can't possibly be everything he said.
It's like, when Conan went to Korea, okay, and he like adopted this octopus and he thought it was a male, but it turns out it's a female octopus. And like, they have the person at the aquarium say to the translator what the difference is, and they speak for a really long time. And then the translator's like, they have different legs.
Dude, that is exactly the kind of translator I would be. Because, like,
as
an audio editor, like, I've said this before, like, I do this in my head as people talk to me. And I'm like, mm-hmm. okay, you could cut that. You could start here. Didn't need that entire preamble.
Right.
But if I was a translator and someone did that, yeah, I would just give them the, like, this is all what they're trying to say is this short thing.
Oh, sure. There's plenty of times when someone tells you a story and you're like, I really just needed the end.
Yeah.
Of that. So I guess it is almost their responsibility to just be like, you didn't, there was a bunch of nonsense.
Yeah.
They have different things.
Yeah. So what time did your flight land? Okay.
Yeah. So for this apartment, where do I park my bike? Yeah. It's very funny. It's like, you know, stranger in a strange land for now, at least. So
yeah.
It's just funny to navigate. But I will continue to write down more things that happen here, and I will share it with you on the podcast.
Please
awesome.
Do.
Love the top of Swissmas. Thank you, Edwin. Thank you, everyone who called in and left us a voicemail. You can call and leave us a voicemail at 503-694-9314. Of course, we love to play them on the show. We should have another. We'll probably do another voice bag at some point before the end of the year. So give us
the
call.
Voice bag.
I say here on out, we call them voice bags. I punched him right in the voice bag.
You guys ever go to that karaoke bar voice bag? okay. you could also email us, mspodcastcompany@gmail.com. Would love to see some more trivia in there. So if you've been wondering, should I send in some trivia, do it.
Are we going to do trivia, by the way?
Oh, not today.
Okay.
And then I think we're out of time. Facebook and Instagram, Michael Scott Podcast Company. We have a website, michaelscottpod.com. We're on patreon.com/Michael Scott. Become a Scott's Top for $5 a month. You get a bunch of bonus mailbag episodes. We got one coming up for November, actually. We haven't done ours yet. So that'll be out soon.
If you were to join now,
as you're listening to this,
we put up our prompt for questions. We'll do that next week. You can get involved.
That's right. That's right.
So do it.
We donate a portion of those funds to the Thurgood Marshall College Fund. So very special thanks to our Scott's Tots.
I think we're due to put in the donation, but let's do maybe at the end of the year we can do the amount.
Just to say, like, I want to, like, I at least want to tell the Tots how much money we've donated. There was, like, a transition for our bank accounts. So, like, I think, Alex, I think you and I need to look back into the past
to come up with
a total. But, I mean, it's, like, thousands of dollars at this point. It's awesome.
A lot. It's more than that.
So, and lots of textbooks and lithium batteries for those folks. So very special thanks to our Tots. Thank you to Ryan Lloyd, who designs our artwork. This episode was recorded over video chat.
Thank you for listening. Thanks for sending us your email messages, your comments, your voice bag messages. We love them all. And, you know, Peak Podcast is actually interacting with everyone, and especially I think of the moments where we've been able to interact with people in real life who are listeners. I know that's kind of difficult just based on geography sometimes, where everybody is, but the fact that we've been able to interact to connect with so many people, and to think that this show reaches you and can make you laugh or smile or think about the show in a different way, that's the pinnacle of our show. Thank you very much, as always, and take care, stay safe, we'll see you next week.
Pippity Poppy, give me the salad.
Yes, sir.
Your name is Jim.
I know who I want to take me home. I know who I want to take me home. Take me home. Oh.
You know what? Fine. I try to start fun traditions for you guys, but if you don't want to sing, no traditions.
Closing time. Every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end.
Good night.